Well, when Queen Elizabeth came and visited America, she brought her a few things with her. Let me give you just a little list of some of the things that she brought. In case you're doing any traveling over the Christmas holidays, you may want to consider some of these things. She brought 4,000 pounds of luggage. I have no idea what that cost her to get all that on the airplane, but 4,000 pounds of luggage. Two complete outfits, just in case she didn't like the first one she put on, for every single occasion. A special outfit she wanted to bring just in case somebody died in her entourage or her party. 40 pints of plasma in case she got sick. A white leather toilet seat that only she could use. Her personal hairdresser. Two valets. The total cost of her visit to the United States was approximately, you might want to guess, $20 million. $20 million. Just a little tiny bit different than when God came and visited planet Earth and came as a baby. Just a little bit different. For example, the place in which he was born, the prophet Micah, when he referred to Bethlehem as being the future place of the birth of the Messiah, he said he will be born in Bethlehem Ephrathah. Now, why did he add that? Because we just think of Bethlehem. Well, if he had not have added the Ephrathah, no one would have known where he was talking about. Bethlehem back in those days was pretty much an unknown city. John MacArthur in his commentary writes this: Bethlehem was such a small, insignificant city that its ancient name had to be used, Ephrathah, so the people would know where he was referring to. If you were thinking of where Jesus should be born or would be born, where would you have picked? What city would you have chosen for Messiah to be born in? Yeah, that's the first thing that would come to our mind, is Jerusalem, the religious capital of the world, with all the religious leaders. But that's not the way God did it. What about a second choice? Shiloh, okay. Anybody else got another guess? Because that's not what I have. How about Rome? You know, you think maybe Rome, the political and the military center of the whole world? But that's not where God chose to have Jesus be born. He chose him to be born in Bethlehem. He chose him to have him be born in a barn and laid in a feeding trough. Not only where Jesus was born was kind of different and strange and maybe a little different than the way we would have planned it, but the guest list was a little different than what we would have had on that first visit. We probably would have picked dignitaries, maybe a king or two to come and be there to honor the baby. But God chose a rough, tagged bunch of shepherds to be the ones who would come and visit the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The lowliest of their society was who God put on the guest list. The place, an insignificant city named Bethlehem. Those invited on the list to come and see, shepherds, the lowliest of society. But what about this? How would you have orchestrated the whole event that one evening? How would you have, if you were Spielberg, how would you have produced that night? And I would have had lights flashing. I would have certainly made a point that this is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the mighty, powerful God of the universe, having put on flesh and come down to this earth. I mean, I would have had a tremendous display, and people would have been cringing in fear and shaking in their boots or sandals or whatever they wore back in those days. That's not the way God chose to do it. He chose to come as a baby that could not speak. He chose to come as a baby that could not eat unless somebody fed him, or he would die. That's the way God orchestrated it. You see, Jesus didn't come to this world to overwhelm us. He didn't come to impress us. He didn't even come to frighten us. He came for one reason. He came to put on flesh so that he could die. I will never forget when Casey, my oldest son, who's the one that's moved now from Portland to Florida, And he was a little boy, and I was doing a series of studies at a restaurant once a week. And we were looking at John 1:14, that God came and put on flesh. And that was kind of unfamiliar language to a 7 or 8 year old or whatever it was at that time. And he looked at me, he said, "Daddy, what does that mean? God put on flesh?" And I said, "Casey, it just simply means he put on skin. God put on skin. God became a man. And the reason why God became a man is, how do you kill God? Unless he become a man." And that's what Jesus did. He came as a man so that he could live and then die for you and for me. He came to be the Savior of the world. So I would ask you on this Christmas Eve just to make sure, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Have you put your faith and trust in Christ, the one and only Savior of the world? Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." I didn't say that. I mean, I get funny faces when I say that to people. But I tell them, I didn't make up the rules. God made up the rules. He gets to do that because of one reason. He's God, and I am not. And he says he is the only way. Have you put your faith and trust in him as your personal Savior? What a night to just make sure and seal that relationship for you to go home and make sure you have done that. And for those of us who are believers, what an evening to leave here tonight and kind of make a determination. I've got a new year coming to do what I can do to live for Jesus, to make as best impact for Christ as I can, to discover my gifts and my talents and the unique way God made me, and then to plug in and be used of God. That's the message of Christmas.